Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone had a terrific weekend and is having a magnificent Monday. A lot of different stories going on today. We got a lot of stuff to cover. But other than that, how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. And I've got some good news for you Star Wars fans. Kathleen Kelly looks like she's on the ropes with Disney right now. She is the militant feminist that is basically putting together all of these horrible Star Wars movies. And she's basically plagued this franchise. And apparently there was a meeting and that they are actually considering the removal of Kathleen Kelly, this militant feminist who's turned Star Wars and Solo and all the rest of this stuff into these basically women who act like a bunch of lesbians who want to control everything and control everyone. And she's that person who's done all that and has destroyed Star Wars. The problem is very few people want to try to take it over from her because of the staffing that she's already put into place, and several people have already turned it down. So I hope, and I really do hope, that Kathleen Kennedy is out of Star Wars for good, and maybe we can start getting some fun movies back without all of this political information, all of this under the cover stuff as far as feminism being pushed to everybody. Austin, what do you think?
Well, yeah, it's clearly feminism rhetoric. I mean, the last film they came out with was Solo or whatever, the Star Wars one they did, the recent one, it tanked. I mean, it completely bombed at the box office. The one before that did not do very good at all either. I haven't watched any of the last couple of them, actually, because they went from the whole Star Wars series and the whole storyline to bringing in just a bunch of really weird underlying propaganda to just push their agenda, as you can clearly see that she's doing, and so I'm glad they're going to remove her. One thing that I did want to start off with today, because this is a very, very troubling story to me, that is what is continually to go on in California, making the state pretty much one of the most tyrannical states in the entire country now by far. As most of you guys have know, I have talked about California state law enacted the assault weapons registration requirement for July 1st, 2018. So on Sunday was basically the deadline to have your assault weapon registered. Now, a lot of people automatically think, you know, an assault weapon, you actually think of, you know, a fully automatic machine gun. That's completely far from what California considers an assault weapon. Years ago, they enacted a bullet button ban, which if you guys are familiar with the AR-15, the magazine drop button, you could no longer have that equipped on any AR-15 in the state. You had to have a bullet button, which either meant you had to take the tip of a 5.56 caliber bullet to release the magazine or use a tool to push in the slot to release the magazine. Well, California said, that's not good enough. We're going to ban anything over 10-round magazines, so it's going to be a felony to possess a weapon if it doesn't have a bullet button. And even if you have a magazine that's over 10-round capacity and you have a bullet button, it's still going to be a felony. So that wasn't enough. Now they enacted this year that basically if you have a rifle that even has a bullet button and 10 rounds or less, it was going to be classified as an assault weapon, and you're going to have that weapon basically registered, serialized, photos taken, and full approval through the California Department of Justice in order to keep it. That deadline was July 1st. Well, already somebody, a very prominent member of Bakersfield, California, actually the CEO of Scott Kirschman Farms, who is the main grower for the potatoes used for Frito-Lay potato chips, that Scott Kirschman Farms, was arrested and is being charged on 12 felony gun charges after the California Department of Justice raided his home last week. Law enforcement justified the raid using images of the man had uploaded to the California Firearms Application Reporting System in an attempt to comply with the state's new registration requirements. The California DOJ claims that one of the rifles Scott Kirschman tried to register had been illegally modified past the assault weapons requirements, but they would not say how. Kirschman was charged with 9 counts of assault weapon possession and 1 count of possessing a multi-burst trigger activator. Now, I looked this up, and there's certain triggers you can buy. They're completely legal from ATF. They're basically you pull the trigger once, and then when you release it, it fires another round. There's nothing illegal about them at all. Apparently, California, though, has banned them, made them a felony. And so This was not a machine gun part. This was not a Class 3 part. It was simply a part that California deemed to be illegal, hence why ATF was not notified or even brought in for this arrest. California passed a law last year banning any weapons fitted with bullet buttons or small modifications that allowed users to detach the magazine like normal you would, and you had to use a tool. The legislators allowed those already possessing these weapons to keep them by registering the firearms, obtaining a serial number from the state, and basically submitting four photos that had to be completed by July 1st. Kirschman attempted to comply with this law now, but apparently one of his rifles had some type of other accessory or modification that they still deemed to be illegal in California, so that gave them the justification for a no-knock search warrant where they raided his house at 3 a.m., found other firearms basically that had flash suppressors, collapsible stocks, things that they deemed to be basically forbidden on a rifle in California, arrested him, and now he's facing multiple felony charges. Even Joe Pinkleton, who is a retired commander from the county sheriff's office in Bakersfield, told the media in an interview that the California gun laws are changing so fast that it's even impossible for California law enforcement to keep up. He said just in a few years there have been dozens of changes in gun laws, and Mr. Kirschman making an effort in good faith to comply with these really overcomplicated laws should count for something, except now he is facing felony charges. Kirschman was released today on a $150,000 bond, and his first hearing is scheduled for later this month. So, just to reiterate, he did not break any federal laws. He did not violate any laws violated from ATF that were in place. He simply tried to register his weapons with the state, and they deemed one of his weapons was still in non-compliance with their laws, which gave them precedent to do a no-knock search warrant, arrest him on felony charges, and seize all of his weapons now, which I can promise you he will probably never see one of those weapons again now, even after the court hearing, because of California's confiscatory laws that they can do with firearms. This is insane to me. This is something that's reached unprecedented levels in this country. California is still part of the United States of America, meaning the Second Amendment is still required as a constitutional law and a Bill of Rights to be applied to every American citizen, even in the state of California, who apparently thinks they're above the law. And this really, really, really is troubling me, Dad, that they are able to get away with this, and they're actually going out and arresting people for felony charges for trying to keep up with the related gun laws. And people go, well, these gun laws are going to actually help prevent people from dying. They're going to stop gang members from getting these weapons. That's a lie. That's false news. That's fake news. New state figures show the rate of people being killed in California was up last year, over many years continuing to rise. There were almost 1,400 gun-related homicides in 2016 alone. The numbers for 2017 will be in shortly, and they are probably going to be the same rate, if not higher. This is because the law-abiding citizens are continually trying to comply with the tyrannical gun laws that California is pushing on them, literally by felony force. At the same time, we have members of the Mexican drug cartel, members of the immigration, as far as people that are coming through with the smugglers, trafficking literally machine guns, weapons, hand grenades, anything and everything you can think of, including ATF back in 2007 trafficking 2,000 machine guns to the Mexican cartel, and then accidentally losing the weapons, only to find one of those weapons on the border killing a state border patrol agent, and multiple 50 caliber weapons that were in that group too that ATF transferred, that were in possession of El Chapo when he was also arrested at his compound. So let's not just think for a second here that the United States has significantly funded the drug cartel. If you don't believe that, you can also look at what happened in the 80s with the MENA, Arkansas drug trafficking, and Barry Seal trafficking over 1,000 machine guns to the Medellin cartel as well. This has been ongoing, guys. California law-abiding citizens have nothing to do with the homicide rate continuing to go up in California. It is the gang members and it is the illegal immigrants that are violent offenders that are coming into that state as a sanctuary state and continuing to bring in weapons to kill other people, including rival gangs. And at the same time, the law-abiding citizens are being disarmed past a point of even lawfulness. We're talking about raiding law-abiding citizens now for trying to register their weapons with the state. state. That boggles my mind, Dad. And California has reached a new level of tyranny, in my opinion, on what happened this weekend.
Austin, I don't even know what to say. That was an incredible rant. I love that. It was great. It's just tyranny is what it is. And I personally believe this guy's got really, really, really deep pockets. I mean, this guy's one of the primary potato growers for, you know, for Frito-Lay. I mean, he's going to be probably, he's not worth hundreds of millions, maybe a billionaire. And he's probably going to run this all the way to the United States Supreme Court. That's what I would do if I were him.
I hope so.
All the way to the United States Supreme Court and get the United States Supreme Court to rule unconstitutional laws in California cannot be enforced. That's what needs to be done. Because you're right, the Second Amendment still applies to California, whether or not they want it to be or not. Remember, when you bring in a socialist government like they have in California, a government that basically wants to bring in as many illegals as they possibly can, a government that wants to give away as much money as they possibly can and tax the people who are earning the money, this is why so many businesses and corporations and people have fled California because of the insane taxation rates. And because of the insane crime rates. And it's like you said earlier, Austin, there's no the law-abiding citizen who this guy is, who did absolutely nothing wrong, broke no ATF laws, no federal laws, no constitutional laws, is now being indicted on multiple felony charges because he has weapons that have the improper trigger mechanism or improper releases or improper magazines or whatever. All of this stuff is just completely indicative of the loss of freedom that they've had in California. Another perfect example, a doctor in California, Dr. Sears, is actually being punished for giving vaccine exemptions to a child and to children with high risks of vaccine brain damage. This is a full-blown medical doctor. This is in Orange County. In an alarming decision that could be used to set the standard for doctors who choose not to follow the state's strict vaccine schedules for infants and toddlers, the Medical Board of California has suspended a pediatrician who claims that he approved a 2-year-old's vaccine exemption. After the child shows severe reaction of the vaccines, Dr. Sears has been the subject of controversy ever since the board have threatened to revoke his medical license altogether when he was accused of wrongfully writing a doctor's note for a 2-year-old boy that exempted him from required vaccinations after the boy's mother told him that previous immunizations made the boy's body limp and caused him to lose urinary functions. Because he took the mother's word and believed her testimony of her son's condition, Dr. Sears is now under probation for the next 35 months. Which means that every decision he makes as a pediatrician will be strictly scrutinized by other medical professionals and other pediatricians who fully vaccinate their children, their patients.
Yep.
He must notify all hospital and medical facilities where he practices that he is on probation and he is not allowed to supervise physician assistants or nurse practitioners. In a statement posted on Facebook, Dr. Sears responded to the decision and revealed that he accepted the probation as part of a settlement in an attempt to avoid going to court and losing his license and being prosecuted, which could have still resulted in probation if he had won or more serious consequences on the board if he lost. Sears said the ordeal began when after he chose to write this note. His note is his response is simply this: isn't it my job to listen to my patients and believe what the parents are saying happened to their baby? Isn't that what all doctors are supposed to do with their patients? A patient's word is often the only evidence we have. As doctors, we must trust our patients the same way our patients trust us to look out for their best interest and for their other children's best interest. Guys, this is a serious, serious problem that we have now. California, Austin, years ago, used to be a cutting-edge state. They were a state that tried to get things passed that nobody else wanted to pass. They were a state that tried to protect people, and the ACLU was unbelievably heavily activated in California back in the 70s and 80s, in which they were trying to make sure that people maintained their rights in that state and throughout the United States. California has now turned into a socialist dictatorship. In every socialist country, like Venezuela, like the USSR, all of these countries end up not being able to even feed themselves where exactly California is today. And if they, last week I did a show on Tuesday, and you guys, thank you, by the way, for all the positive comments about that show. I've gotten deluged with emails about that show. Tuesday a week ago, I talked about this in depth, about how the politics of envy was at play with Marxism and with communism and who these people were and what they do and who their leader is. You got to listen to that show from Tuesday last week. On that very subject, the communist Andre Manuel Lopez Obrador wins the presidential election, setting the fierce Trump critic on a collision course with the president of the United States over immigration and the border. He said a few weeks ago that all Mexicans have the right to freely immigrate to the United States unhindered, unabated. Unbelievable. He basically is a hardcore communist, and he has now won the election in Mexico. And as other hardcore communists, you're going to find out very, very quickly, he's going to be hardcore, basically bought off by the cartels, drug people down there in Mexico, and he's going to make it worse and worse and worse for the people of Mexico, making it so they really, really do want to leave. All of them want to leave. And over 100 politicians have been killed in the last few years in Mexico because of the cartels and because they simply don't want certain people in office. For the fact that he made it through and he's not dead tells me that somebody wants him in power. And of course, it's the hardcore socialists. And now I don't understand this. Now I'm just going to say this, and it's going to be very kind of clear. I have a lot of my friends are German. A lot of my friends are Hispanic. A lot of my friends are English, French. You know, I'm talking about ethnic backgrounds now. A lot of them, like I said, are ethnic backgrounds with Hispanic. But almost every single ethnic background person that I have was Hispanic. But not all of them, but most of them, probably 90%, are hardcore Democrat liberals, socialists. Now, I don't understand that. I know one lady, basically, she has a business. And she has basically run the business with cash. I know her well. I'm not going to mention any names. And I'm pretty sure that all the cash doesn't get deposited into the account. She doesn't pay taxes on it, which is against the law. And what's funny about this, one day I asked her, I said, well, you know, you've told me basically that you don't deposit your cash. You don't pay taxes on your cash. How can you justify that being a socialist? Because you need to give part of what you earn away to other people through taxes. And now you're not doing that because you're basically defrauding the IRS. And her response was silence. She didn't know what to say. These people are so interesting to me, Austin, because I don't understand why they can come from some South American hellhole that's basically socialist like Venezuela, which was at one time a beautiful country with great people, and now it's turned into just this communist socialist hellhole. And they come to the United States, and they end up wanting to create the same socialist communist hellhole here in the United States that they had in the very country they left. And I particularly find it humorous with the Muslim folks that are coming in from Somalia and all these other countries in Africa and the Middle East who lived in complete and total tyranny in their country, scared of their life, had their roving rape squads running around with Saddam Hussein to rape their families and kill their family and children and wives. And they come to this country and they want to do the same Sharia law they were under in these other countries to create another hellhole here in the United States in which they can live. If they wanted to live in a hellhole, stay where you are in your own hellhole. Don't come to the United States and try to create hell on earth here in the United States. Don't do that. Just stay away. Now, this Manuel Lopez Obrador wins the presidential election in Mexico, hardcore Marxist communism, and has encouraged his people to basically storm the border of the United States now and have massive immigration against the United States, against the will of the people in the White House. Guys, what an unbelievable mess we have. And guys, if you're Hispanic, I'm not trying to pick on you because, like I said, if you're listening to this show, you don't have this mindset. I already know that. And so congratulations. I'm so happy you're listening to us. Because guys, if we don't all wake up together and realize that Marxism, communism, that the book that Engels and Marx wrote, back Engels later retracted all the stuff he had written about, he didn't have anything to do with, he accepted Christ and became saved, and Marx basically was a nut. It was a hardcore communist, atheist, satanic, whatever you want to call him. These people really have no ability to govern properly and to create any type of organization that's going to flourish and to prosper and create and generate wealth for their people. I'll give you an example. Perfect example of Marxism. You go to a class in college and basically you work your butt off on the class and you get 100 for the test. You get 100. It's a graduate level class. And the teacher gives you a C, gives you a 75. And you go back and you go, but doc, you know, why'd you give me a 75? Well, I believe that everybody should be equally rewarded for what they do. But doc, I studied, you know, 100 hours for this exam and you gave me a 75. It's a C. It's going to crash my GPA. Well, I gave everybody a C. Everybody got a 75. Whether you got a zero on the class, a zero on the test, or 100 on the test, you got a 75. You got a C. Everybody got, we just averaged it all out and spread the wealth around. And the guy goes, but that's not fair. Well, the next test, the guy ends up making an 85. He ends up getting another 75. Finally, on the third test, he goes, I'm not going to study at all. So he doesn't do anything. So he gets a zero on the test, and he gets a 75 on the test. Didn't do anything. Didn't even pass it. Did put his name on the test and turned it in and got a 75. And he goes, okay, I got it now. I'm getting a C for the course. No matter what I do, I'm getting a C. Got it. Not doing anything. That's what Marxism is. No matter what you do, you have the government pay your bills, and the government continues to pay, take care of you, and no matter what you do or how you do, if you don't do anything, you still get to 75, you get to C. Pretty soon, all the people that are busting their butts making the A's, who are all getting the 75 also, are going to go, the heck with this deal. I don't like this deal. This deal is awful. And they stop making their A's. They stop making their profits. They go back on the government welfare. They shut their businesses down. And now they get their monthly support check from the government like everybody else. And the government goes further and further and further into debt until it can no longer sell its treasury bills or its bonds to any of the foreign investors because the country is basically physically bankrupt. Oh, that's right. That's the United States right now. And then what ends up happening is everybody just kind of goes bankrupt together because the Marxists and the socialists decided that they want to take away the incentive of the free enterprise system. Austin, what do you think?
Oh, that was an incredibly good analogy. And the ironic part of that is that a lot of these people that are into the socialism and that they are hardcore leftists and pushing it, when they're in school, they would pitch a fit if a scenario like that happened. If they really were striving to get A's and B's and they couldn't do anything but get C's because that's how the structured class was, because it was basically a socialist-based class, they'd pitch a fit. They go, this isn't fair. I'm trying to get a high grade in the class. I really want to get a good GPA. Well, it doesn't matter. Everybody gets the same grade. So it's a really interesting analogy. And to quote from what this new Mexican president said, as we were talking about a second ago now, he's very, very opposed to Trump's policy on immigration. He's been very clear about that. At the end of last month, in the end of June, he came out and he said, and I quote, soon, very soon, after the victory of our movement, we will defend migrants all over the American continent and migrants of the world who leave their towns to find life in the United States because it's a human right and we will defend it. Peace and tranquility are the fruits of justice. Lopez Obrador said in the June speech reported by El Universal. This guy is talking about bringing in, and not only bringing in, but helping to fund and encourage the mass immigration of the southern border. I'm telling you right now, I mean, that's what this guy's about. So anybody that's trying to twist the narrative on it, you need to go read some of his quotes on his standpoint on what he believes as far as with immigration in the United States. He's not only going to endorse it, he's going to facilitate it. So I really hope that Donald Trump can actually talk some sense into this boy, or at least use some leverage from a lot of the factories that we have down here and the tariffs and taxes and everything else to get this guy freaking back into better shape, because this is not something that's going to be conducive to the American population if not only does the immigration not slow down, that the Mexican government starts encouraging the illegal immigration and facilitating it and funding it as this guy essentially wants to do. Also, too.
Right, hang on. Let me comment on that. My friend, who is basically the female who basically has run the business in cash and whatever, she's also married. And when her candidate, Hillary the Witch Clinton, was not elected, and in her minds, Donald Trump, the Nazi fascist dictator, was elected, which is insane. Okay, she fell onto the floor. Woman's 50 years old, crying and screaming and squalling for almost 3 weeks, completely debilitated, mentally completely and totally destroyed, devastated, until finally her husband had to tell her, it's enough, stop it, I'm not putting up with this anymore. Okay? And you say, well, do people really do that? Yeah, people really do that, guys. And so it doesn't make any difference if Donald Trump tries to talk sense into this hardcore communist in Mexico now. It won't make any difference. He's already said he's going to facilitate it and help defend the right of everybody in the world to move to the United States. This guy's not only a communist, he's a blithering idiot. I mean, how in the world does he even justify that anybody from any country in the world can move into the United States and he's going to defend their right to do that? And how's he planning on doing that? He's going to send his stupid Mexican army, who can't even defend against his own drug cartels down there, into the United States to do that? Why don't you ask Santa Ana how that worked out for the boys down there in Texas? I mean, we won't put up with that junk. Trump needs to put a doggone 75-foot wall across the border with Mexico and the United States and arm it with gun turrets and be done with this nonsense and stop this. Because if we don't stop this now, guys, we as a country of the United States of America is going to become so deluded, is so completely absorbed into this socialist movement out of South America that we will lose our virtual identity as American citizens. And we will go again, as I've said to you before, into the ash heap of history as it once was the greatest nation in the world. That's what these people's goals are. Because remember, somebody funded this bimbo, this Mexican guy, down there in Mexico to win. He got somebody's nod somewhere as a hardcore socialist, probably George Soros, funded to the Rothschild banking cartel to continue his Cloward Piven move against the United States. Okay, Austin, what were you going to say? What's your next story?
No, that was an excellent add on there. And what we see now, and this is something that we talked about last week, but I want to add on to it a little bit more now. We're seeing this multifaceted approach to bring down the United States, to really cripple it the best we can. We have this unending gun agenda against anybody that's pro-Second Amendment or likes firearms throughout the entire country now. I mean, it pretty much, if you like guns, you're right up there with the Nazis now, as far as according to the mainstream media. We see California leading the way and literally becoming the most disarmed, tyrannical state in the country now by far. We see the southern borders literally being split wide open with this Yahoo right now. We now see, you know, Democratic representatives like Maxine Waters calling for violence and calling for belligerent behavior towards other people in the government elect to basically have people go against them in the public and either harass them, threaten them, or in some cases do harm to them. We also see that basically with civil unrest all across the country now, even Hollywood producer Michael Moore is now threatening that he's going to try to surround the nation's capital with a million people, listen to this, to stop President Trump from getting another Supreme Court justice approved. I mean, this is like boggling my mind. And now, I went to the movies this weekend. I saw a movie, Sicario 2, which is essentially a significant amount of the movie is about the Mexican illegal immigration, the money that's funding it, in conjunction with the drug cartel, in conjunction with the Mexican government. Interesting movie. I think the first one, the original one, was better, though. It went into a detail a lot more on how the CIA pretty much makes its own laws and they don't have to abide by anything, including facilitating the drug transfer into the United States of heroin and cocaine. The first one, I think, is better on that aspect. But when I was there, I saw an ad, I saw a commercial for a movie that was called The First Purge. And I've heard of the other ones that have come out. Wasn't a big fan of them. Didn't even like really the concept of the film, except this one is taking it a whole step further. This movie's coming out on July 4th. It's called The First Purge, and the parentheses, the slogan of the movie, is says, A Nation Reborn. Now, what this movie's implying, and from what I clearly got from the commercial, basically the front part of the movie they were trying to show, is that it depicts a film of a blatant race war. In this film, they're taking the main actors in the film are all black. They're pretty much living in poverty in inner cities, and they're basically fighting back against anarchy of these white individuals that are coming in to create this giant purge. Very strange film. Clearly is full-blown rhetoric for anarchy and civil unrest in the United States. Really increasing the violent rhetoric that Antifa and other groups are trying to promote. And one part that I saw that was very strange, in the poster of the film, it shows a red hat with the slogan, The First Purge, and it is clearly in reference to the Make America Great Again hat from Donald Trump. So we see all these different things going on right now, all over the country. They're trying to do something. They're trying to get something fomented to start something off, to really spark some type of civil war in this country. I'm really starting to see that now. Before, a lot of times people brought this up over the last couple of years, and I said we're still quite a few events away from an actual civil war occurring. But they've learned now that they can't just go on one front. They have to try to start this from a multifaceted approach, and that's exactly what they are doing now. So I just see these things that are going on more and more and more, and they're quite troubling, to be honest with you, because they're really, really, really pushing in the media to try to start civil unrest. They're pushing in the movies now. They're pushing with the immigration now. They're pushing every direction that they can to start civil unrest, while at the exact same time, they're trying to completely and totally disarm us, Dad. That's the most troubling part about it at the same time.
Well, remember, they've got sleeper cells all over the United States. We've talked about that. We talked about that last week. They've got sleeper cells of Al-Qaeda. They've got sleeper cells of, you know, jihadist extremists. They have sleeper cells of MS-13 gangs. I mean, I'm not talking about dozens. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of these people have been brought into the United States. Now, will all of them actually take up arms against the United States and try to turn it into their former hellhole country? Probably not. But if a bunch of them do, they will, which will give the United Nations basically the right, according to Obama that signed off on it, to come in here and quell our national unrest from a social disorder, national, how should you say, this civil war. So we'll be in the same position that Syria's in. You know, the CIA can start our little Operation Gladios here in the United States, start to overthrow the government, do whatever they want to do, and then basically the United Nations will come in and say, oh, we have to come in with peacekeeping forces. Are you kidding me? That's what Obama signed us off on. By the way, speaking of weirdos, we're going to talk about Angela Merkel for a second. I won't be fired by the Chancellor, Angela Merkel, who is only a Chancellor because of me. Merkel's coalition partner makes confident boast ahead of showdown meeting sparked by his tough border demands. Interior Minister Horst Seehofer told allies that he was prepared to resign from his post. He warned allies that he was ready to quit over Merkel's handling of the migrant crisis. Mr. Seehofer's CSU called for Germany's borders to be closed to asylum seekers immediately. He is due to hold last-minute crisis talks with the German Chancellor later on today. Guys, this is getting really heated up in Germany. Let us all stand in the gap for the German people, because they don't like this any more than we like what's happening in our country. Let's pray that Angela Merkel is replaced, that she is basically booted out, never to be returned, and they'll realize very, very quickly that bringing in a hardcore person who was raised as a hardcore communist in East Germany into the chancellorship in Germany was a horrible mistake from the very beginning. Oh, by the way, Obama granted U.S. citizenship, speaking of illegals, Obama granted U.S. citizenship to 2,500 Iranian officials while negotiating the nuclear arms deal, says a top Iranian cleric. I mean, guys, think through that for a second. That's another 2,500 people that were basically able to be brought into the United States and granted citizenship. Now, I'm not talking about just coming into the country. I'm talking about becoming full-blown citizens, because, as we know, the gay Kenyan was definitely a Muslim, and that's why he was doing all the things that he was doing, to do everything he possibly could to undermine the very structural fabric and societal fabric of the United States. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, he did, and that's what I told you guys last week. I thought was so ironic how, you know, Trump does something 10 years ago, and all of a sudden it makes national news as this scandal for months on end. They come up with fake news from Russia. Every single way they can come up with some type of bogus story about Trump, they do so, and nobody even questions it. They just say, oh, that's got to be true news. CNN said it, even though it's complete opposite. When Obama was involved in more scandals and weird things like that, as you can count, by giving 2,500 Iranian citizenship, giving them billions of dollars in cash, on a pallet of cash, everything from transferring surface air missiles in Libya through Benghazi. I mean, all this stuff. And everything just literally got swept under the rug. It was like, oh, that's not true. That's not true. We don't talk about that. That didn't happen. No, don't bring that up again. And you're like, well, that did happen. No, it didn't happen. Then all of a sudden, stuff happens with Trump. Oh, no. Russian meddled. Russian made the election for Trump. Oh, no. What about Hillary? Oh, what are you talking about, Hillary? She lost. She shouldn't have lost. She should have won. Don't you understand that? The Russians and Trump, they beat her illegally. They rigged the election. No, that's not at all what happened. No, that's exactly what happened. Anything else is fake news. That's what they're doing now with this whole narrative, and the mainstream media is starting to lose so much credibility now. You're seeing this on so many different news outlets where people are like, no, guys, this is the truth. The more people I talk to now, and just all over the place, via email, via phone, via person, more and more people now are not buying the mainstream narrative that the CNN and NBC and all these guys are trying to pump out with all the rhetoric now. People are starting to wake up, and that's a really, really good thing. The problem is everybody's just got to start waking up faster, because these globalists are going to push this faster and faster and faster. Now, they're in panic mode. Anytime you start seeing elected officials in government start calling for violent acts to be taken out on other government officials publicly, that's an issue. That's when you know they're losing control and they're completely and totally freaking out. A man allegedly allegedly threatened to chop up Senator Ron Paul and his family with an axe has now been found that he was basically a registered Democrat as well. I just saw that earlier today. Paul mentioned the attack publicly at an event on Monday. The man has been arrested and basically called up Rand Paul's office, basically said that he was going to chop him and his family up with an axe. The man was a registered Democrat, according to the Kentucky State Board of Elections. So this is what they're trying to foment on the left right now. If they can bring in enough violent rhetoric and spew it out across the populace, and the individuals with low enough IQ buy into this, and they're like, oh, we got to start a civil war, we got to start doing this, they're going to do it because of the mind control techniques that we've seen through the radio frequencies, through the televisions, through all the different colors and ads that they do on the TV shows now and the news anchors. All this stuff, guys, is designed to put you in basically a hypnosis state, to focus on what they're saying, to believe it and take it into heart and act on whatever they tell you to do. That's what I told you before. When you watch these news shows from like CNN, and they have breaking news, and they have these different flashing things constantly across the screen, and they have these news anchors that are talking in sync with this very, very specific sync that they're talking in. They're basically putting up different phrases and different words. They're doing all this stuff to get you in that hypnotized state, so you focus on what they're saying, you believe what they're saying, even if it's fake news, and then you act on whatever they're saying. So when they call out for basically violent behavior, or they even endorse it, or they sit there and defend it like they have with Antifa dozens of times now. When these guys go out and they call them peaceful protesters, and then you see photos of Antifa in all black clad gear carrying 2x4s with nails pushed through them, and all of a sudden, oh yeah, those were peaceful protesters. You can't get mad at them. They were just trying to fight the neo-Nazis. You go, where do you guys come up with this stuff? This isn't what I saw. This is what nobody else saw. You guys are just coming up with lies. This is what they're doing now, and they're doing it as quickly as they can. Also, in other news, too, coming out of California, as I saw this earlier last week on Thursday, but I wanted to touch base on it again right now because of what we see going on. The Supreme Court in California, the California Supreme Court on Thursday last week, threw out a lawsuit that sought to invalidate a state law that requires new models of semi-automatic handguns to stamp identifying information on the bullet casing, the brass. The court ruled unanimously that gun right groups could not overturn the law on the grounds that complying with it was impossible. The groups argued that the technology does not exist to meet stamping requirements, and the law could not mandate something that was not possible. The law requires new pistol models to have a microscopic array of characters in two spots that identify the gun's make, model, and serial number, and that are transferred by imprinting that on each cartridge when the gun is fired. Gun manufacturers said it's impossible to microstamp two areas of a gun, especially in a semi-automatic firearm. Only the tip of the firing pin can be microstamped, and current technology does not allow the stamp to rely and consistently and legibly imprint on the cartridge primer from that part of the gun. Attorneys for the state acknowledge in court documents that microstamping technology is emerging, though, and it will be out very soon. The law, which took effect in actually 2013, doesn't impact guns already on the state's official firearm roster. Only new semi-automatic handguns that are being sold in California must be equipped with this technology. Surely there's a thing called the Second Amendment, and the Heller case made clear you can't make compliance so impossible that it bans the ability to own a firearm, and the inherent right of self-defense have been central to the Second Amendment right. The handgun ban amounts to a prohibition of an entire class of arms that is overwhelmingly chosen by the American society for lawful purpose, yet the California Supreme Court did not care, and they overturned the lawsuit. So now any newly manufactured firearms, and what that means is new guns that come out, not like an old Glock 7 M16 that's already been out for the last 30 years, a new weapon that basically is going to be brought to market, a new model, a new caliber, a new style from any manufacturer, will now have to have this technology imprinted into it, which this is why it's so hard to get any type of new firearms in California, because there are literally dozens and dozens of laws now put into place that prevent you from owning any type of legitimate firearm or newly manufactured firearm in California. So this is just another step to fully disarm the populace out there, which in turn, as I've said so many times, in my opinion, has been a beta test for the rest of the country and for the United Nations, because we know the United Nations is supporting California, so is China.
That's right.
With the whole Cal exit process. They've already come out and said that. They've even said once they vote on it, and if they can make it become law, the UN will recognize them as their own country, and they'll be brought into the UN Council as the country of California. They've already said this now. China's already come in and said they will bankroll the whole process. So we see this as a first step in trying to carve out the American continent, the United States of America, to bring it into a new world order. And at the same time, how can they beta test to push these gun laws in effect? And also, what type of backlash are they going to have? But like his dad said that earlier, the individual that basically owns the Frito-Lay's potato company that they get from the potato from, that was arrested on felony charges yesterday, I really hope that he is able, he has enough funds to fight this all the way up to the full Supreme Court to get this overturned, because this is something that would be huge if it was. If the Supreme Court came in and stepped in and overturned California gun laws, that would be a victory beyond victories for state laws and gun rights in this country, not just California. However, this is going to be probably a very long and intense battle, and this guy is going to spend a lot of money if he wants to go this route, Dad.
Well, it'll take years. And the thing about it is, that's why this next appointment, the next appointment that Donald Trump puts in, he has to get it approved before we have the midterm elections in case he loses the House or the Senate. He has to get this approved immediately. And hopefully the blithering idiot John McCain, I know he's not rerunning. Hopefully he's still not even being involved in any of this stuff, because knowing that guy, he'll be one of the top guys who wants to veto everything. I'll be so glad when he's out of the picture completely. By the way, a judge in England, this one's gonna blow your mind. A judge in England, he's 67 years old. He defended his family from an armed gang, and he was arrested for racially aggravated assault. Now, stay with me on this one. Nigel Stringer, who's been a court judge for 26 years, now finds himself being prosecuted for defending his family against an armed gang who stormed his home. Stringer says that he saw 8 black men, I'm sure they were immigrants, approaching his property, with one carrying a crossbow, another appeared to have a gun, several others had metal bars and knives, and that were later found on the property. Stringer fought one of the intruders off with a hockey stick and then used a racial epithet. In other words, he called him a name. Police arrested Stringer and his son on suspicion of a racially aggravated attack. No one from the gang was arrested. No one from the gang was arrested, as police said the trespassers had done nothing wrong. I mean, this is political correctness run to a new level. My son told me that he had seen a gun. He went outside. I kept shouting loudly at him to leave, and the police were on their way. I used my hands and the stick to push him away from the house. The guy's 67 years old. He kept punching and kicking me. He's attacking the guy. I was bruised by this time, bleeding and utterly exhausted. He's 67 years old. Then police detained the judge, okay, for 3 hours, and he remains under investigation while the gang, believed to have been armed with the guns and the knives and the bars and the crossbow, were allowed to leave. Mr. Slater found a knife at the scene of the crime several months after it happened. Mr. Stringer said he was then horrified to see the 4 other men on the other side of him and their hedge basically going and using racial epithets themselves towards each other. Guys, this is unbelievable, and the fact that this wasn't on CNN and all the major news networks blows my mind. You have a group of people attacking you, regardless of what race they are. It doesn't make any difference. I don't care. And all of a sudden, you basically say something to them, and you yell a racial epithet, which you shouldn't do, but you do because you're in the heat of this battle, and you're fighting people off, and they get to walk after they've attacked you, beat you bloodied, leave you halfway senseless, and they get to walk away, nothing is charged, and you defending your own home are arrested and charged with a racially aggravated assault. Unbelievable, Austin. This one was so far out there, I was even hesitant to even talk about it, but it was through E.G. Griffin's Need to Know website, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and cover this one, because quite frankly, we need to know just how bad it gets in places like England, in Australia now, and in Canada, and in California, as these nutbags come to power, son. What do you think?
It truly is terrifying what's become of the UK over there and a lot of overall of Europe in general. And I mean, this is why I continue to shout from the rooftops the not only need, but the demand, the requirement for a Second Amendment, because what they're doing now is not only, because you got to remember now, you got to think about this for a second, same scenario, you're in California though, and you have multiple MS-13 gang members basically approach your property. You all of a sudden go into your cabinet, pull out your AR-15 that has a bullet button on it, that only has a 10-round magazine, but you have not registered it to the state of California as an assault weapon. You basically decided that you've already met so many requirements, you did not feel the need to further give up your Second Amendment right. You're in California, your life's in danger, you have MS-13 gang members about to basically break into your house. They're trying to get in. You shoot one of them, the rest of them run off. The police show up. They all of a sudden they ask you, you know, okay, well, you fired a weapon at them. You were trying to defend yourself. You didn't flee your house, which is basically a requirement in California. You're supposed to basically flee away from somebody. You have a requirement to flee, which is stupid. But secondly, they go, well, what firearm did you use? Well, here's my firearm. Well, this is an AR-15. This is an assault weapon. This isn't a registered database. Well, now not only are we charging you with felony possession of assault weapon, we're charging you with basically assault with a deadly weapon with intent to do great bodily harm because this is an illegal weapon. So you were charging you multiple felony counts for trying to defend yourself. That's where this is headed, guys, when they come in and they start saying you can't use this, you can't have that, you can't say this, you can't do that, in all the aspects of defending yourself and protecting life, limb, and family and pursuit of happiness. There's so many requirements that you need to think about. You need to bring out a doggone checklist before you get into an altercation with somebody trying to break into your house. Oh, let me check this. Am I not saying anything that's aggressive or confrontational? Check. Am I not saying any racial slurs? Check. Am I using a weapon that's certified legal by the state to defend myself? Check. Oh, I mean, really? I mean, where does it go as far as the extent on what these people are trying to do? And that's exactly where it's going in the UK now. This guy is basically in trouble for defending it with a hockey stick, which isn't even illegal. You can have a hockey stick. But then he said something that is basically a racial slur, and they go, okay, we're basically going to detain you now and ask you some questions because we need to know why you feel so aggressively towards Muslims that are trying to break in your house and do you bodily harm. You go, I was trying to protect my family. Yeah, but you said a word that wasn't very nice. You can't do that. These guys are free to go. You know, they didn't do really anything wrong. You're the one over here calling them names. You just can't do that. You can't run around calling people names when they're trying to kill you. That's illegal in the UK. You can't do things like that. And you sit there scratching your head going, what? I'm confused. Am I in trouble here? Is this really what's going on now? That's where this level goes, guys. And this is why it's so important to do everything you have to in your state to protect your gun rights. And that includes making sure you vote in legislators, that want to support and protect your gun rights, not like Rick Scott that we have down here in Florida that blatantly turned around and went against us. I know we basically have, from what I was looking at right now, we have two main guys running for governor as far as with Adam Putnam and also the other guy, Ron DeStenis, I think. And from what I've seen now, Adam Putnam, who's actually from Polk County, he's blatantly endorsed Rick Scott. He's blatantly endorsed open borders. He's endorsed basically sanctuary cities. He endorsed basically the massive bailout. We don't want him in office. We do not need another governor that's going to turn around and capitulate to the globalist regime. And that's what everybody has to start doing in their state. You have to start supporting these guys and find out what their core values are and what their previous voting records were. That's so important because so many times, I know all of you guys have seen it, we look at people that are basically to be elected or they're on the ballot and so forth, and all of a sudden you go, well, what did they vote on this? What did they vote on that? What did they vote on this? Well, when the stuff they voted on completely contradicts what they're telling you they're going to vote for in the future, you got to ask yourself a couple questions there. So it's so important, guys, we get in and we vote this fall and do everything we can to keep a constitutional republic, because if we don't do anything about it, it's going to disappear whether we want it to or not. And that is not any type of fear porn or anything else people want to call it. We're going to lose this country unless we start actively trying to make a difference and supporting and protecting the rights that we currently have, Dad.
100% right. By the way, in California, they tell a woman that if she's being raped, that she's not supposed to shoot her raping offender, that she's supposed to lay down, basically play dead, and urinate and defecate on herself while she's being raped, and that should turn the guy, make it repulsive for him to continue to rape her or to kill her, and he should leave the house because now she didn't do what she needed to do, and she didn't submit, and she tried to defend herself, that you have to urinate and defecate on yourself rather than shoot the guy with a gun. I mean, this is some sick stuff, man. I mean, I don't even know where in the world these people who dropped them on their heads when they were kids. Somebody dropped these kids on their heads off, so there's no other way around it. There's something wrong with their brains. Well, they feel that's okay. You know, I love Ted Nugent. You know, you somebody's doing that, you have a recidivism maggot who basically has been in and out of prison over and over again for raping and shooting and killing people. Kill him the next time, be done with it, not have to deal with the system having to put him away. You know, it's ridiculous. By the way, in Iran, we're now having violent protests over inflation, the alliance with Syria, water shortages, and more. Iran may be on the brink of revolution as protests rages across the country over its collapsing currency, its high unemployment, drought, impending U.S. sanctions, and a ban on its oil. Ron Paul and Daniel McAdams say that it is likely that the CIA is agitating the situation to create the conditions for regime change again. Now, that's exactly what's going on. The CIA is doing this. They're fomenting this. They're bringing groups and gangs into that country. They're using HARP to create the drought. Oh, my goodness, I can't believe I said that. My total opinion, you guys know I'm right. Look out there in Arizona and Colorado. There's places out west now that are drying to the bone, and how the Colorado River isn't feeding the dam out there anymore, and now we have a big problem with Lake Mead. All of this stuff's happening. They can completely stop the water in Iran very, very easily with HARP stations around Iran, which is apparently what they've done. So they have a huge drought. CIA is fomenting problems, and they're trying to overthrow the duly elected government. So they can't go in and basically bomb them into the Stone Age, but they can go ahead and put a regime in that's going to be friendly again to the United States like they've done so many times in the Middle East. I just wish we would stay out of other countries' politics, Austin. I wish the CIA and these guys would stay out of our politics, for heaven's sakes, using the FBI's front. I wish they would stop all of this stuff and just leave us alone and allow us to have duly elected officials in office and not have to try to come in and overthrow all of these duly elected officials from all of these governments all over the world. Guys, I want to thank you so much for listening today. I appreciate you guys. I had the opportunity to, again, pray for you this morning. I hope and pray that you had a wonderful weekend, and hope and pray you have a wonderful week. Thank you so much for your support of Health Masters. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Thank you for being here and being part of our family. You guys you're part of our family. That's all I can say. Thank you. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Austin, I'll do the write-up. Go ahead and finish it up. I will talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Absolutely, bud. And also, too, another health news. Researchers from Australia have now found that healthy young adults who supplement their diet with omega-3 fats exhibit reduced risk of eye disease as they age. I thought that was interesting. Scientists at the University of Melbourne found that omega-3 fatty acids can be useful in the prevention of age-related vision impairments, including macular degeneration, glaucoma, and dry eye disease. Past research has shown similar findings, concluding that insufficient intake of omega-3s can increase the risk of developing these conditions later on in life. As a source explains, basically, the risk factor in the onset of glaucoma can greatly be reduced with oral omega-3 supplementation. And that's why, you know, in so many kits that we have on the website, we always put cod liver oil in, or at least fish oil or omega-3 fats, because they're so essential for not just healthy blood pressure, healthy cholesterol, healthy heart, healthy brain, healthy mood. They're good for healthy eyes. And one that really works well is the Body Balance Himla that we have, because that's an omega-3 phospholipid, which is water and fat soluble. And so a lot of normal fish oils, like just a regular cod liver oil, it's essentially only fat soluble. Himla, which is basically derived from a pure Antarctic krill, that's where we source ours, and it's processed using dry ice, no synthetics, no solvents, no chemicals, so you get a true, pure form omega-3 phospholipid that's water and fat soluble, and it's very, very, very healthy for the eyes. I've had so many people that have told me they've been having eye issues. They would start on basically the EyeSight formula that we have, which is a very specific formula just for EyeSight, and then add in the Body Balance Himla, and both of those products together really helped out with healthy EyeSight, because guys, the thing about eyes is you want to take care of them while you're young. If they start getting worse as you get older, you want to do the best you can to protect them. You don't want to wait until the vision gets so bad and so out of hand and so unclear that you try to fix it then, because can it be fixed at that point? Yes, it can to some extent, but it's much better to help and prevent that issue with the eyes before it gets to that level. So those are just a few supplements, because I get asked that question a lot. And when I saw this article today on omega-3 fats being healthy for eyes, I really wanted to bring it up again, because it's such a crucial nutrient, not just for every part of the body, like I said a second ago, but also very important for the eyes, especially the Body Balance Himla that we have. Also, too, as you guys saw, hopefully on the front page of Health Masters, the product of the week, which is the CLA Fat Burner. I talked about this a little bit on Friday, which promotes healthy body composition, is really good for burning body fat, is great when you mix the CLA with the coconut MCT oil that we have on the website. Those two together, along with a very healthy diet and healthy exercise, can do wonders at burning body fat very, very efficiently. So that's just one of those things that people forget a lot of times when they start dieting, is that you have to have fats in your diet. You have to have fats to burn fat. If you don't have adequate fats while you're dieting, you start A, losing muscle too quickly, B, you stay ravenously hungry all the time, C, your mental acuity goes to the floor because you're not getting proper fat, so you're constantly just almost loopy because you start forgetting things, you start daydreaming, you can't focus. That's because of fat deficiency while you're dieting. Your body needs fats. So those fats provide proper fuel sources, so your body doesn't have to go in and start trying to take a lot of fat out of your diet to function properly. It can simply start burning body fat more effectively, if that makes any sense. So be sure to check those out on the website at healthmasters.com. And also, too, be sure to vote for the product of the week that you want to see win this Wednesday. There's a couple good ones on here, including the scalp cream from Vive, the regeneration, the insulin support, a lot of really popular products that we have on there this week. So be sure to vote for that. And of course, we also have the other kits on the front page and other parts of the website that are on sale all the time with different products, promotions, and specials that we have. So be sure to check it out, healthmasters.com. We thank you guys so much for the support. Thank you for the emails. Hope you guys had an awesome weekend. And, of course, have a blessed, safe, awesome time during this week as well, during July 4th. And we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow, as always.